You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition of the podcast. We've got racing from Fakenham and Suttle picked out to get the preview treatment. There's also racing at Catterick and there's an Irish card over at Nace as well on Tuesday. You'll hear all the action live on William Hill Racing Radio, live 10 minutes before the first, as indeed we are every single day of the week. Sam Norris here, and joining me on Tuesday's edition of the podcast, it's a warm welcome to John O'Connell. How are you, John?
Very well, thanks, Sam. Very well.
Good stuff. We're going to start the Tuesday podcast as ever with a spin through the Racing Post Monday Jury and a festive themed Monday Jury that it is this week, starting with a little bit of a look back on some of the weekend's action. And we start with Frodon, who was obviously victorious in the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup over the weekend on Saturday, a race that he's won before. And the question asks whether or not you think he can go on to record victory at Grade 1 level, either in the Ascot Chase or, of course, the Ryanair, running the Ryanair last year. I was amazed that the horse is still only 6 years old, John. He just feels older than that.
Definitely.
But yeah. Has taken his form to new heights this year.
Yeah. We were just talking to the studio there a few moments ago as well. It just... I know it's the Bryony Frost story as well, with the horse getting the horse out and get the horse jumping into brilliant rhythm. I also think it's another advert for the training skills and placing skills of Paul Nicholls, because this horse won the race 2 years ago as a four-year-old. He seems to have been around for ages, as you say. He's getting better and better. And having got beaten by Baron Alco last month, he decided, well, the way to beat Baron Alco is to get out in front and hassle that one and make sure we get to the front, and they did that. Those tactics worked so well at this particular course at Cheltenham, the one that was used on Saturday, and the one that Ryanair is run over as well. So he could be interesting in the Ryanair. I know it's a different sort of rhythm of races, whatever, a graded race as opposed to handicaps, but that shouldn't affect him because he'll go from the front anyway. And I would imagine that there's probably a few, there might be one or two possibly just too good for him, but you can see him giving it a right go. And a track that suits him, that particular course at Cheltenham, which is used for that race, will suit him as well. He will go from the front, and you just know he's going to run a race. And although that is obviously the harder race than the Ascot race, normally anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually ran very well in the Ryanair.
Okay.
Yeah, there may be something on the day, because the likes of Mullins can juggle the pack a little bit, shuffle his pack and see what he's got there, and he might end up running one of his horses there. It might just be a bit too good for it. But you know that Frodon will be giving it a go from the front, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. On to Brain Power next then, who was victorious in the international hurdle over the course of the weekend. A revert back to hurdles for the horse, which I think we were discussing this over the weekend on Racing Radio. It's credit to the owner, Michael Buckley, who wanted to go back over hurdles. Not necessarily against Nicky Henderson's wishes, but it was the owner who said, let's put him back over hurdles. And it was obviously a positive move, winning that big race over the weekend. What chance does he have, though, with the likes of Bouvardet?
I couldn't give him virtually any chance against Bouvardet.
Yeah,
fair play to the owner, Michael Buckley. I think they also landed upon what was a really bang average renewal of that race. If you'd have said to me a month ago, when Western Rider came, I think, fifth in the Greatwood Handicap Hurdle, that he was going to go favourite for that race on Saturday, or go a favourite, which I think he did in the end.
Yeah, did you?
I'd have said there must be two runners in that race on Saturday. It didn't look a strong race going into it. Somerville Boy, they've got massive problems, I think, with that horse. I didn't like it as a jumper from Newcastle. I think it actually jumped okay on Saturday for the first five or six flights. I think there's other issues with that horse. I think the race was up for grabs, so to speak, on Saturday. Brain Power, very good call about connections the owner to go back hurdling. I think that was his champion hurdle, so to speak.
Yes, I think I would agree with you there. Elsewhere at Cheltenham, anything else that impressed you over the 2 days?
Couple, the obvious one, I suppose, is the same with the World's End, but I think that horse needs a soundish service, yep. surface. So, and different tactics as well. They went, rode much more prominently, Little Rockefeller departing early as well, so that probably helped. To be honest, I don't think it was a strong two-day card at all. I thought Friday's was a pretty ordinary sort of card. Aaron Ladd in the last will be going for the Potemps final, and that will now qualify for the race, which will be high enough in the weights after that win. I wouldn't underestimate that. But to be honest, I didn't think it was... if I probably had to pick one horse, it would be probably the World's End. But as I say, with the caveat that it really wants a sound surface. Al Dancer was very impressive with the 2 mile handicap hurdle. The only problem is this one so far, it's going to go up to about 140. They're probably going to go for the handicap route. They might look at something like the Betfair hurdle at Newbury in February, but it's going to have a good few pounds more than they'd have probably been hoping that before the race on Friday. So all in all, a few pointers from the 2 days, but it was Friday was a bit of an average sort of meeting. It wasn't like the Friday you would get at the November meeting.
Yes, I would quite agree with that. On to the next question then, which is what tribute would you pay recent retirees, the new one, and My Tense or Yours? Obviously, My Tense or Yours retiring a couple of weeks ago. The new one had his last spin in that international hurdle at the weekend, a race that the new one has won on multiple occasions. He's won that race that they had the champion hurdle trial at Haydock on multiple occasions. My Tense or Yours, 3 times second in the champion hurdle. Two great sages, and with the pair of them retiring so close together, it almost feels like slightly the end of an era for these two.
It does. It was just the main hope, well, the main wish for me is that they're great to see they got out in one piece.
Yes, very much so.
And they weren't forced into retirement. They kept going with the new one, and sadly his form just went the last 3 or 4 runs, but he was a lovely old character and used to run his races. You mentioned that Haydock race in January so often. You could just set your clock by him in that race there, couldn't you? He didn't quite in his day winning the champion hurdle behind Jeske. It was about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago now, when he'd been hampered and then came second. But yeah, a couple of great old servants, and just great that they managed to retire through choice.
Yeah, definitely so, and a real a good bit of horsemanship as well with Sam Twist and Davis pulling him up before the last. I mean, there would be literally nothing to gain from jumping one more hurdle.
There was no upside at all. Yeah. So fair play to them. Yeah,
indeed. On to the King George then, of course, the feature at Kempton on Boxing Day. And your thoughts on this year's renewal? A bit of a tricky renewal though.
Yeah, my thought is that it's a few of them have got, I wouldn't say questions to answer as such, but there's a question mark, little concerns about most of them. Mike Bite, that run from Haydock last time, it was a below-par effort. That I know they were saying it was all about the size of the fences at Haydock, but I don't know, is it just that? It may well be. If you take that form away, that race away, it's the best runner in the race, you'd think. Politolog, his form has been boosted, but it won't make him stay any better. I think I think if he stays, Political is a big, big runner. Waiting Patiently, I am a bit worried about a layoff. Hopefully, fair play to the connections if it comes off. I hope it does for them. But I've got a nagging concern, nagging doubt about the fact it's been off for about 10 months going into the race. If I'm not having a bet in the race, and I may not even have a bet, I think Mike Bite is the likeliest winner. But do I want to back a horse who ran like that last time? Around 3-1. The answer is that is no. So I probably think Mike Bite is the likeliest winner back at Kempton, but I won't be backing it.
Okay. And the final question. I almost thought about omitting this question, John, but I'll ask it you anyway. Personal or professional? What present is top of your Christmas wish list this year?
It's probably just backing a few winners. The Welsh National, definitely the on the 27th. I haven't had a good look at it yet, but it's a race that's been fairly kind over the last couple of years, so I'll have another good look at that. I was intrigued by the fact that horse I've backed for the Grand National, Badazeel, is in there. I can't believe that horse won a big graded race in France over the summer, having it normally needs 3.5 miles plus in the mud
and the rest.
And it won a race at around 3 miles, like I think was a graded race anyway, which either it was a brilliant bit of placing, but it makes you wonder about what the opposition was
sure.
Given what we know about Badazil. But he goes there. Henry Daly's got a run. Is there something like Back to the Hatch down at the bottom?
Okay, Back to the Thatch.
Back to the Thatch, sorry, yeah. That could be an interesting runner. And the Tizard runner, Elegant Escape near the top of the market. So, yeah, hopefully he'll be back in a few winners. But certainly one race I'll always target.
Yes. And shout out to Paddy Mullins as well, who features on the Monday Joe this week. He keeps most of his answers short and sweet. And top of his Christmas wish list is meeting Briony Frost under the mistletoe. So he's not been afraid to put that in the trade paper. I'm sure Briony will see that.
He's laid his cards on the table there, hasn't he?
He certainly has. Best of luck to Paddy Mullins with that particular endeavour. We're going to move on to some of the action that we've got coming up for us on Tuesday, though. John's got a couple of races picked out to take a look at. We'll do them in chronological order. So we'll start at Southwell with the 1 o'clock race there. And this is a handicap over a mile and a half. We'll also be looking at a race coming up at Fakenham as well. And seeing as I've just blindsided you a little bit there, John, we can start at Fakenham if you want over Southwell, depending on which race have you got to hand first.
We've got the 150.
Okay.
Fakenham. Only five runners, but I'm afraid it's Fakenham. So what we do know about that, they don't have many big fields.
No.
You have to probably cast your mind back a while before last time you've seen a double figure field there. The 150 race, I'm looking at Enjoy Responsibly, Oliver Sherwood's runner. Harrison Bezic, £7 claimer rider, as he does normally ride the horse as well. It's only five runners, but it's a competitive little race, as it should be for the money as well. But Fakenham do put up some decent prize money. Sadly, they just don't get the runners. I don't know if it's a location thing.
Could well be, couldn't it?
But it's frustrating. It must be very frustrating for all connected there. But the horse has got a form at Fakenham. I think it's won two out of three visits there. It was actually beaten this race last year, but it's won its other two races there. And it came back after a six-month break at Hereford last month and ran really well, won third in a race won by Touch Kick, something of a blanket finish on that occasion. But this tomorrow is a 0-130 contest. There was a couple of grades below the one from Hereford last time. So everything is in place. There's rain around tomorrow, but to be gotten a Sam, it wouldn't affect him, his chances, because whether it rains or not, good ground, soft ground, he's got a pretty similar sort of profile anyway. Course form is always a plus here at Fakenham, so I'm going to go for Enjoy Responsibly to win that race at Fakenham tomorrow.
Enjoy Responsibly then in the 150 race at Fakenham, and as we say, the other race that you've taken a look at is at Southwell on the fibre sand.
It's the 1 o'clock race. It's an awful lot of humdrum sprints there tomorrow, but the 1 o'clock race, I'm looking at one of the, I think it's the only three-year-olds in the race, Mr. Carbonator, Phil Kirby's runner with Luke Morris aboard. It's an 0-70 contest. Didn't run well here a couple of weeks ago, but that was over too short a distance on that occasion. I think the mile and a half tomorrow will be fine for the horse. He's got form at the track from before. It's a race that I know he comes with a bit of a question mark after that run last time out, but there was a lot of question marks about his rivals as well. And back from earlier in the year, he's got a fair bit of form on the fibre sand. The mile and a half is okay for him as well. I think that's probably more his trip these days. So, with plenty of negatives about his rivals, and he's got a few negatives himself, I'm just hoping that Mr. Carbonate can get back on track tomorrow.
Mr. Carbonate's then in the 1 o'clock race at Southwell, one of two for John to follow. On Tuesday, hope you can join us for all of the action. We'll be live on Racing Radio for the meetings at Southwell, Fakenham, Catterick, and potentially a little bit of Nace thrown in there as well. John, thank you for that. Pleasure as ever, and enjoy it.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.